Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, we are moving right along and doing the best we can do. And, of course, we are, as always, having a good time. And Little Earth, Wind, and Fire is good for your soul. Earth, Wind, and Fire, we could all use a little bit of soul food. So, this past weekend we had the NCAA tournament. We had the, you know, basically the Sweet 16 to the Elite Eight. And now we have our Final Four. If you look at what has gone on, there are a lot of people that love, you know, the Cinderella and all the other crap. I'm not one of them. I'm not. I have no desire to watch San Diego State play, ever. No desire. I have no desire. I'm okay with one team. You want to tell me Florida Atlantic gets through and wins? Okay, fine. You want to know why? Because Florida Atlantic, those guys play. They get after it the way you're supposed to get after in basketball. They play, they can score, and everything else. And at the end of the day, you know, Connecticut, they are actually a legitimate. Probably we're underseeded. They should be there. Miami is a team that obviously has a lot of really talented players. But they're kind of like a Arsenal. I mean, they're kind of like a basically an AAU team of a bunch of guys that just all came together at Miami. In other words, I would tell you that some people love these teams. I am not nearly as big of a fan of some of this as some. Because the NCAA Final Four, in my mind, has always been about the best players being on the biggest stage. And now, right now, all of the best players, for the most part, are all freshmen. And as we found, it's really hard to win with a lot of freshmen on your team. It just is. And so we're going to see a lot less, probably, of the best players in these Final Fours over the next course of time. Teams are going to start to adjust and realize that now you've got to put together team transfers or, you know, a group of guys. It's hard to win. Even, I mean, Duke has four guys that are going to be among the first, 25 picks in the draft, although I think one I read today might be coming back, but at the end of the day, four right now who are projected to be like top 22 kind of picks. And they couldn't get out of the second round. Because of the age of some of these teams, the extra COVID year is silly. The fact that these teams are all now basically just compiling them, you know, let's get our old AAU teams back together and go find a school to play at. I mean, here's the thing. I'm not being curmudgeon-y. I understand that basketball has changed, and if you're a program that wants to survive, you better change with it. It is what it is. I'm not saying it's not fair. I'm not saying any of that stuff. I'm saying I don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch it. But it's just basically one of these things where I look at it and say, I liked it a lot better when the teams were basically, you know, the teams with talented freshmen had a chance. Younger teams really had a chance. And most of the teams that were playing were teams that actually had grown up, you know, had played together at least on some level. You know, one or two transfers is fine. But at the end of the day, I'm looking at all of these teams and I'm just sort of saying, it is college basketball now. It's the way it is. You have to adapt.
But I find it a little bit silly.
I find it a little bit silly that Kansas State goes out and finds 10 guys and brings them in. I find it silly that Pitt had basically, what, six guys, their six best players, not one of them had began their career at Pitt. But that's the way college basketball is going, and really what we'll see is, like we always see, an adjustment. There will be an adjustment. I've already seen Duke's coach, John Shire, talking about how he's going to do a lot less recruiting of high school kids. He's going to go out and get transfers because it's harder to win with all these talented freshmen. You run into a team like Tennessee that just manhandles you, you go home. And so, you know, again, it's compelling from the standpoint of it's different names that we've seen. But, you know, if I would like it a lot better if it was Connecticut, Florida Atlantic, and then two other teams that were built similar to Florida Atlantic and Connecticut. Because Connecticut really isn't a transfer team. I think they've got one guy. I think Florida Atlantic's got two guys, right? They're for the most part, they're teams that and both of them have some sophomores and juniors and guys that, you know. But to me, what we're going to see is that a lot of people are going to look at Miami. They're going to look at San Diego State. They're going to look at Pitt. They're going to look at Kansas State. They're going to look at a lot of these teams, and they're going to say, guess what? This is how we're going to build our roster. And so, I mean, it is what it is. Trust me. I'm not complaining from the standpoint of saying, oh, it's not fair and this and that and everything. I just think it sort of violates some of the – I mean, at some point, Joel, doesn't it have to be at some point about the student part of the student-athlete? I mean – how many of these guys that go to three or four colleges are actually graduating? You're right. I just saw another guy who was at Kentucky. He was at Florida. He was at Kentucky. Now he's leaving Kentucky and going somewhere else. I'm just saying these guys that go to three or four different schools, not the graduate transfers. They've obviously graduated. I'm just saying at some point is I'm pursuing a degree. Is that a part of it at all?
I wonder if that's going to be after their professional careers.
Well, I hope so, but a lot of these guys that are bouncing from school to school aren't going to have professional careers because basically, look at the guys who get drafted. In general, it's not the juniors and seniors that get drafted. Those guys, you know, sometimes they get signed as undrafted guys or they go to the G League or they get drafted in the second round, right, where there's no guaranteed money. But for the most part, I looked at a mock NBA draft today. I want to say 17 out of the 32 guys projected to be drafted are freshmen. And there's about another six or seven that are international guys. You know what I'm saying? Including the first. Have you seen this first round pick or the guy that's projected to be the first overall pick?
Yeah, Victor Wembanyama.
He's like 7'4". 7'4".
Yeah. So that's what? That's taller than Zach Edey from Purdue, right?
Yeah.
By maybe an inch or two?
Yeah. 7'4". My thing about him is, if you think about it, I've seen actually some film of him playing. He actually moves around pretty good. He's going to be good. I'm just saying, like, to me, you know, the NCAA tournament. And then, of course, the other part of this tournament that's really frustrating is I think it's really been officiated kind of poorly. Not necessarily from the standpoint of, you know, one team or another is getting an advantage, but more from the standpoint of, you know, I feel like they're not calling enough fouls. They've slid back to, well, let's let them play. And the thing about it is this whole thing about, oh, it's a man's game, let them play. That's silly. That's not how the game is supposed to be played. And I think if they were calling more fouls, it would be a little bit easier to watch some of these games. But some of these games are really difficult to watch because it's just kind of turning into football. Like, I thought that San Diego State-Creighton game, people are talking about the last foul or whatever. The last foul. And here's the thing. The last foul in that game. The problem isn't the foul. That wasn't the problem. Because it definitely was a foul. The problem is they didn't call that foul the entire game. It's amazing to me how hard it is for people to have that conversation and understand what you're trying to say. I don't subscribe to the theory of 2 seconds left in a game, you can't call a soft or touch foul or whatever you want to call it. Because you can if you called the game that way the entire game. That's what people don't want to come to grips with. In that particular game, they didn't call touch fouls. They didn't call touch fouls. So it's not about calling a foul with 2 seconds left. It's about calling a game differently than you did for 39 minutes and 58 seconds. That's the problem. That's the problem. And if the game was called the other way, if it was called really tight and they were calling touch fouls and everything that all, guess what? I wouldn't have any problem at all. I wouldn't have any problem at all with that end of that call at the end of the game. I really wouldn't. But you can't call it one way for 39 minutes and change, and then 2 seconds left, call it a different way. That should be the discussion. These discussions about, you can't call a foul like that with the game on the line, you know, the chance to go to the Final Four. Yes, you can. If you called the game like that the rest of the way. Yes, you can. Got to get to a break. It's the Paul Zeiss Show. It's 93.7 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It is one of those things where we are basically coming through this. And today we got dropped in our lap the idea that we are basically having Lamar Jackson demand a trade. And so when you look at that and look at what happens in terms of all of these situations that are coming through, at the end of the day, now the Ravens have to figure out what to do. One thing Lamar Jackson has made sure that he's done is probably nuked the maximum amount of return that they're going to be able to get from him. There's a term, for instance, like when you go and buy a house. It's called motivated seller. You want to find somebody that's motivated to sell their house. Why? Because you can get a lot better deal. The problem is this. The problem is this. When we think about it, if you're the Ravens, you don't want this guy going around and telling people. You don't want this guy going around and telling people that basically I want traded. They've got to get rid of me. They've got to get rid of me, and they've got to make sure that basically I'm not going to play for them. Because what happens is, really, what happens is very, very simple. It is a situation of where now teams know they've got to get rid of them. They've got to get rid of them. Period. And that's really what it comes down to. They've got to get rid of the idea that, hey, they've got to get rid of him because he's not going to play and you can't afford to have him sit out and get nothing for him. So if your teams now that are interested in going to get Lamar Jackson, guess what? He's basically nuked his own he's basically nuked his own value. Period. That's the problem. Period. And I think that's the biggest thing that you have to wonder about. And that is really, to me, if you're the Ravens now, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? That's the question. So to me, it's important to remember that, when you have a player like that and you try and play chicken with him, you might lose. And I think the Ravens are going to end up probably not getting what they could have got from if they just committed to trading him immediately. Now, the other part of it is, I don't know what the market is for him anyway. I don't know how many teams are really going to be interested in him. I don't know how many are going to be interested in him. Period. And I think that's the biggest thing. And so it comes down to, it really is important. It really is important, to remember that or to note that. Now, as far as the Ravens go, if you take Lamar Jackson out of the equation, they can be okay. They can be okay if they go get a quarterback, but it's obviously not easy to find a quarterback hanging around falling off of trees that can go and win you football games. There's not Brock Purdy's around every corner. They could... to be honest, do the Colts have the first or second pick in the draft? They've got a really high pick, don't they?
I think they're five.
They're fifth. That probably won't work. That probably won't work. And so, but if you maybe trade, put a package together with Lamar Jackson to go up in the draft to number two. Who's two? So it goes.
Houston's two.
The Bears or the Carolina trade or Carolina traded for the first pick, right?
Yeah, so Carolina's
and the Bears
won.
Traded out.
That's correct.
So let's look at the draft choices. I mean, and right now, you've got Carolina 1, and obviously they're a team that needs a quarterback. I mean, see if you can make a deal with them. Give us the 1. One overall.
They said they were willing to trade down from spot number 1, so that's
right.
You know, in play.
Give us the 1, give us another 1, and you can have Lamar Jackson, and we'll give you our 1. The Texans need a quarterback, right? There's another team. They're number 2. I would say Arizona needs a quarterback, but of course they don't believe that. But I think Kyler Murray's not very good. The Colts are number 4. I mean, but the problem is that Carolina and Houston probably are both going to take a quarterback off the board, so you don't want to be that far down. It could happen, I guess. It could happen. But it is what it is. At the end of the day, it is what it is. And so I would tell you the reality of the situation is when we look at it from the standpoint of all of this other stuff, really the reality is Baltimore doesn't have a lot of options here. They're kind of screwed. And I don't know what's going to happen because it could become a situation like Le'Veon Bell where Lamar Jackson just says, I'm not going to play on the franchise tag, so if you tag me, I'm sitting out. He could say that. And if he does, then what? Then what happens to the Ravens? It's not an easy situation. Now, of course, there's all of these people who basically say, it's just one of these things where it's one of those things where we are at a place where we're talking about all of these other things that if you're the Ravens, you've been a good organization, you've been smart, you've been able to figure out what happens. That's what happens. Really, that's what happens. So to me, I look at it from the standpoint of, you know, we are sitting here talking about all of this stuff, but the Ravens have really got to figure out how to get through this and get out of this without having complete egg on their face and without getting nothing for Lamar Jackson. Because that's where they're at right now. They're either going to look totally idiotic, if they don't get something in return for him. Coming up, we're going to talk to Ray Fittipaldi of the Post-Gazette about it. We'll talk about that and a number of other things. It's 93.7 The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Joel, for some reason the X screen won't come up. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Peters Township. Visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates. Remind you to text responsibly in the fan hotline presented by Nemecolon. Around every corner, Nemecolon creates real-life magic for guests. Let's go to the fan hotline, talk to our good friend Ray Fittipaldi for the Post-Gazette. And, Ray, there was some sort of a media availability with Mike Tomlin. Was it today or was it yesterday?
For the owners' meetings, Paul, he was actually available yesterday with the local reporters, and then today they had a media breakfast, and he was available again. So he's been available both days. I think Art Rooney is going to talk tomorrow or Wednesday. So, and then I think those meetings break on Wednesday morning or Wednesday afternoon.
So Mike Tomlin basically he laid out a couple of things, right? There was a few things that he said that were somewhat newsworthy, sort of laying out probably where the Steelers are headed in the draft, and also that basically you've got Mitch Trubisky coming back.
Yeah, I mean, I think the longer we went through free agency, Paul, with Mitch Trubisky staying on the roster, I think it became clear that they were willing to work with that number. You know, $10.2 million against the cap is high for a backup quarterback. But you know what? When you're in the Steelers situation and you have a second-year quarterback in Kenny Pickett, who is still learning the ropes, and a guy who also had a couple of concussions last season, I think it makes sense. You know, and you know, they'll probably have to go down the road at some point of either securing Trubisky for more years beyond this year or finding a new backup next offseason. But, yeah, I think it's been clear, really, since free agency started a couple weeks ago, that Mr. Trubisky was going to be the backup quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing about it. It's important to remember that. It's really important that you've got a backup now, so you don't have to worry at all about quarterback, right? I mean, who cares who the third guy is?
Yeah, absolutely. Whether you draft a guy, and I doubt they're going to draft a guy. They have so many needs to be addressed in the draft. I can't see them drafting a quarterback unless it's really, really late. So, you know, you're talking about bringing back a guy like Mason Rudolph or bringing in another quarterback like that, somebody who's going to make, you know, $1 million, $2 million. Who knows? It could be end up being an undrafted free agent, you know, that they sign after the draft. So, yeah, I don't think they're concerned about who number three is going to be. But rest assured, with Kenny Pickett on a rookie contract and Mr. Trubisky making what he's making, that number three quarterback will be making rookie-type money.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Did you find anything else that he said somewhat interesting? I think that he basically laid it out that they are going to not likely draft a tackle, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, a couple of things. He basically came out and said, you know, he was asked about the safety position today, and he said they're going to add either through free agency or through the draft. They're going to add to that position. So it's getting pretty late in free agency. So, you know, it's looking like, you know, safety might be an option for them in the draft. And, you know, what he said about the offensive line basically was, you know, I think the way the question was phrased was, are you happy or are you comfortable with your tackles? And he said, basically, he said he's comfortable. But, Paul, I would not read too much into that. If they feel like they could upgrade with a starting caliber tackle at 17 or 32 or even 49, I think they would do that. I think we all know that Dan Moore Jr., while he's been a starter for 2 years, has some warts. And I think, you know, eventually they're going to have to get better at that position. So just because he said that, you know, this week, I wouldn't necessarily read into that that they're not going to draft a tackle. I still think it's very much in play for them and in play for them early in the draft.
Right. I mean, I think that's the thing. They have always been a sort of a team that would go and get the best player they can get. And so I don't necessarily think they're saying they wouldn't take a tackle, but it seemed like there's other needs that they have. And of course, it was interesting what they said about how they're going to how he's going to view the safety position too.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he laid it out there. DeMonte KZ, I think, can play there. He's a little bit undersized for a strong safety, but he started there last season when Edmonds was injured. And, you know, what he said today was something we've been hearing for years, that, you know, the safety positions, a lot of people get caught up in the free and the strong designations. But the way the game is played today is really just splitting the field in half. So, you know, I think ideally you would have a bigger body there, you know, to maybe help out with the run game. I think KZ is willing in that regard. But, you know, again, he's a smaller type of a guy. And he also said that Patrick Peterson could, in some packages, drop back and play, you know, one half of the field as well. So we'll have to see how that's, you know, drawn up. I don't think it's unusual for a corner at that stage of his career that Patrick Peterson is to take on some of those new roles. That's something he actually did in Minnesota. And when we interviewed him a couple of weeks ago at his introductory press conference, you know, he basically said what Mike said today, what he's willing to do whatever it takes to help the team, and that includes playing different positions in that secondary.
What happens in Baltimore? How do you see that playing out now that it's pretty clear that he has said he wants out?
Well, my first thing was they went like 25 days without anything leaking about a trade request. I guess not having an agent really does matter when you want to keep a secret. That was my first reaction to that, Paul. But, yeah, I mean, it seems like most of the time when you get a trade request like that, it's the end of the road. And, you know, that player is going to be moving on to a new team. I do think, though, that you have to look at this as a negotiation as well, right? So if Lamar Jackson really, really wants to put pressure on the Ravens organization, getting it out there that he wants to be traded could potentially, you know, spur some action on the part of the front office. So there's still a part of me thinks that, you know, that might be part of this process, but I don't know about you, Paul, but right now it seems like, I don't know, 70-30, 80-20, that he's going to be playing for a new team in 2023.
What do you put the percentage that he might just sit out like Le'Veon Bell did?
I mean, that wouldn't be very smart. I mean, he's guaranteed money on that franchise tag. I forget what the number is, but I think it's low to mid 30s. So, yeah, especially somebody with his injuries history, and we saw that with Le'Veon Bell too, right? You know, he had a long injury history, and when you sit out like that, you're just lopping off a season in the middle of your prime. That just doesn't make any sense to me. So I think if he's considering that, he's getting bad advice. If it comes to it, no other team is willing to pay you what you want to be paid or pay the Ravens in return on a trade, then you just play on the tag and you wait it out. But I don't think the Ravens or Jackson want to see it get to that point. I think, you know, that can turn into a toxic situation. So I think whatever happens, I think probably before the draft, we'll have a resolution one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be the thing that all of us are going to wait to see is it actually going to happen for him, right? Is he going to get a trade like he wants to, or, you know, is he going to continue to play chicken with him all the way through camp? That's the thing that I think is interesting in this, because in effect, by saying that you wanted a trade, yeah, it gets it out there, but also you basically killed your market from the standpoint of teams now know that the Baltimore is a motivated seller.
Yeah, I mean, there's that part of it too, but there's all, you know, the other side of that equation, Paul, is if you're the Ravens and Lamar Jackson isn't going to be your quarterback, you got to have a contingency plan, because I think we saw late in the season that Tyler Huntley's not going to get the job done. If the Ravens think they're going to go one season with Huntley as the quarterback, they're going to take giant steps backwards. So what you say is true, but it's also true that if they want to get a quarterback in there who could potentially help them stay relative competitive in the AFC, then they have to make some moves, and, you know, eventually they have to move on and, you know, prevent that from becoming a big distraction. But to me, that was the news of the day today, and I thought it was great. I don't know how he timed it that way, like if he had a live feed of like the Ravens website with Harbaugh talking, but as soon as Harbaugh sat down, he released those statements. So I thought that was, for not having an agent, I thought it was very, very well done today by Lamar in terms of like the PR stuff and all that stuff that goes into it.
Well, we were looking earlier, my producer and I were looking at the teams at the top of the draft. I mean, Carolina and the Texans and even the Colts are three teams that need a quarterback. Do you think any of them would be interested in making a trade for Lamar Jackson?
Well, I think the Colts, you know, are the Colts in the top five?
They're four.
So they might, Paul, they might not get their pick of a guy that they want, right? And they might not want to trade up to get that guy. So maybe you go with a veteran option. You go with a proven guy that you know who has won games in this league. I think Lamar Jackson, for all of his issues with injuries, Paul, and for all of his issues in the playoffs, that guy can win during the regular season. And for a team like the Colts, who've kind of been like on this quarterback carousel ever since Luck retired, you know, for them to get an established guy, I think it's a no-brainer. So unless they really, really like three or four quarterbacks and they believe they could live with any of those guys early in this draft, I think the Colts are a no-brainer. So I think that's one team to keep an eye on here.
Yeah, well, Ray, I appreciate you jumping on, buddy. And hopefully we can do it again soon.
All right, Paul. Talk to you later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.